story of the friendship between David and Jonathan, and how that Jonathan knew that David was going to become the next king, and how that Jonathan was willing to step down to allow David to step up. And so for this to happen, there had to be an end of Saul and of Jonathan. And there were times that David had opportunity to kill Saul. And if you'll remember right, you'll remember that David said, "I won't touch God's anointed. Just let God have his way." And so we read that came time for one final battle that Saul and Jonathan were going to go to. And when they went to this final battle, this was the time when God was going to judge the house of Saul. And I believe Jonathan was a good man, but he was part of the house of Saul. And for David to be able to become the next king, Jonathan had to be taken out of the way also. And so here the story I've read to you in this one verse tonight, it tells us that Jonathan had a son. Now this son was an ordinary, normal son, a little five-year-old boy. And this son, no doubt, loved his daddy. Probably followed his daddy around and probably thought there wasn't nobody in the world like his daddy. Probably even thought Grandpa Saul was pretty important. You know, sometimes, no matter how wicked people get, the little old kids just seem to love them anyhow. You ever notice that? I mean, they just love them anyhow in spite of it all. And probably no doubt that little old Mephibosheth loved his grandpa, loved Daddy Jonathan. And here they were, the nurse was caring for Mephibosheth, Jonathan, and Saul were away at the battle. And the news came, someone came running in, and they said the news about Saul and about Jonathan. And when the news came about Saul and about Jonathan, the Bible said that Mephibosheth's nurse, the one that cared for him, she picked him up, and the Bible said that she fled. She tried to escape for the life of that little boy. Now, in the days of the Bible, it was not uncommon that if you killed one king, that you would kill all of his sons and all of his grandsons and all of his family and leave no one to have a claim to the throne. And so that's what the nurse thought probably was going to happen. And she could just see the soldiers coming in and picking up that beautiful little five-year-old boy and killing that little boy. And so she scoops him up in her arms and begins to run and begins to flee. But the Bible said that it came to pass as she made haste to flee that he fell. Here she is. She's running with that child. She's trying to get away, and she falls and drops the baby. And the Bible said that he became lame. What I want to preach on tonight, if you'll help me, I'm not going to preach long. I want to preach tonight on a simple subject of dropped when Daddy died. Dropped when Daddy died. Hallelujah. This little boy was probably the type of little boy that was active. He was probably the type of little boy that was always on the go. He's like my daughter at all. You can't keep up with him. And probably always going and always running and always traveling, always going somewhere, always getting into trouble, always getting into meanness. You know how kids are. That's probably the way that little Mephibosheth was. But there came a time in the life of Mephibosheth when his entire world was turned upside down. And nothing that had been the way it was before. Why, before Grandpa had been king and Daddy had been the prince there in Israel. But now here Mephibosheth is. Grandpa's no longer king. Daddy's no longer the prince of Israel. And Mephibosheth has been dropped and become lame. It was through no fault of his own. And Mephibosheth did nothing wrong.
Mephibosheth had committed no sin, but through the actions of another, Mephibosheth had been dropped when his daddy died. He didn't plan it that way. And no doubt if you'd have told little Mephibosheth when he was just a little four-year-old boy that the day would come when he wouldn't be able to run and to play, he would have thought surely it would never happen. If you had told his mother or told his father Jonathan that the day would come when little Mephibosheth would be lame and be carried around and have to depend on somebody all the time, they would have probably told you that no way, it'll never happen to him. But sometimes through the course of life and the things that happen in life, they don't always go like we've got them planned. Here they had a beautiful future planned for this young man. They planned that one day he would probably be king. They planned that one day he would be the one that would sit there upon the throne and be the one to rule all of Israel. But you see, something happened here. There was a tragedy that happened. For him to become king, it depended on daddy becoming king. For him to be the new prince and to be the one that grew up in the palace and grew up and to learn the ways of the court and the ways of royalty, it all depended on daddy still being alive and daddy becoming the new king. But you see, God had a different plan. And in the plan of God, daddy had to be taken out of the way. And here this little boy is. In just a moment of time, his entire world was turned upside down. It wasn't planned that way. But just in a very few short moments, his entire future, his dreams and his goals and his plans and everything that little Mephibosheth had depended on, it was all taken away from him. And here he was lame, he was a cripple. He was no longer fit to be a king because he had been dropped when his daddy died. Now, what I want to preach to you about tonight, there are people who have been dropped, sometimes through no fault of their own. I've had great confidence in some men of God, and you know what? They dropped me. I've had high opinions of some preachers and some church people and some Sunday school teachers, and through no fault of my own, they were killed and daddy died, and I found myself hobbling around and trying to get around and trying to find my way. There have been other people that things have happened and people have backslid and problems have gone on, and maybe a husband died or a wife died, and really through no fault of their own, they found themselves crippled and lame. They found they're no longer able to get around like they once were. And when I walk into our churches and I look out at some dear brother or sister, and I know there was a time that they raised their hand and they magnified God. I knew there was a time when they were the first one to testify. And it wasn't that they had fallen into sin, but because something unexpected had happened, that they had been dropped in now tonight. There they are, they're lame. They're no longer able to do like they once did. I was talking to Shane today about a man. This man, Shane knows him. He was a good man, but he got in the middle of church trouble. And he didn't mean to get in the middle of church trouble. He was just one of those things that happened. And this poor man, he allowed that to eat at him. He didn't cause the church trouble. He wasn't the instigator. He wasn't even the one that lied on the preacher. But this man had got right in the middle of that. And he went to looking at people he had confidence in by the columns. He went to look at the people that he looked up to, and he watched them go to talking, and he let in their mouth, and watched them throw a preacher out, and watched them run a preacher down the road and treat him dirty. And tonight that man will not step his foot inside the door of a whoreless church. I know that's his fault, but I also know that he was dropped. He should have been held up, but somebody dropped that man. And I'm here to preach to you tonight. I don't know what you've gone through. I don't know the problems that you face, but I'm here to ask you, how do you feel like you've maybe been dropped? Have you looked up to somebody and suddenly they let you down? Have you had confidence in something and suddenly it was gone? And now tonight, there you are. You've seen so much trouble and you've seen so much problems that you feel like you're lame and you feel like there's no way that you can go on. I want to tell you something. There's hope for a cripple tonight, and you don't have to go on lame. I read in Leviticus 21:18 that a priest could not be lame. It was a shame. A man was considered incomplete if he was lame. And here Mephibosheth was. He was of the royal line. He was the royal lineage. And now here he is. He's not even fit to go into the house of God. It wasn't planned that way, but it just happened. And now here he is. He doesn't even feel worthy to stand with the people of God and to go into the house of God with the priests of God. I want to know tonight, maybe is that you? Have you seen problems and seen things that have happened around you until you don't feel like getting it anymore? You don't feel like shouting anymore? You don't feel like pressing on for God? And maybe you've been dropped somewhere. And I'm here tonight to preach you, to tell you that it's not all over. There's still a hope for you tonight. You may face problems. You may face difficulties. You may feel let down. But I want you to know there's still hope for you. Even after Mephibosheth was restored to the favor of the king, and we'll get to that in a minute, but even after he was restored to the favor of the king, when David had to flee from Absalom, Mephibosheth was still bound and crippled in Jerusalem. When everybody else went out to David, and that servant and Mephibosheth went out to David and got out there, and you know what that man did? He looked at David and he said, Mephibosheth had told me that I'm going to stay in Jerusalem, and today I have the kingdom restored unto me. But that wasn't the way it was at all. And Mephibosheth didn't plan that at all. But because he had got down, he got to the point that he couldn't go on. Somebody was there and a lie about him by the Collins. Somebody was there to say, they're all backslid. They're washed up. There's no more hope for them. There's no way that they're going to go on. And so when people get in the house of God, and I realize we face battles and difficulties, and sometimes we get down, sometimes we wonder if we're going to be able to go on. And you know what will happen some day? Dear sweet brother and sister, they'll be happy to spread the word how that we've let down, how that we're no longer saved, how that we're all ready to quit God. And the problem is, we've just been dropped, and really there may not be much that we can do about it. I believe if Mephibosheth could have went with David that day, he went away with David that day. But he'd been dropped when his daddy died, and there was no way that he could go with David. And I believe there are people, there are good people, that they'd like to get up and shout with us again. I'm not talking about preachers that have committed adultery. I'm not talking about people that have compromised and let down. But I'm talking about good people that are under load. Good people like are here tonight that would be happy to be able to get up on this platform behind a microphone and to sing the praises of God. That's the kind of people I'm talking about. But yet as they struggle on, day after day after day, somebody's there to push them back down. Somebody's there to shove them back under. I heard one time that the Church of Jesus Christ is the only army in the world that kills their wounded. And we get them down and we get them crippled and we kick them some more and we push them a little further and we lie on them and we beat them down. But I want to tell you, if you're here tonight, there's hope for a lame man. There's hope for a cripple. You don't have to go on just because somebody dropped you and mama died or daddy died and seem like all the world is caving in on you tonight. I want to preach to you that there is still hope for you and a God. That there is still a place for you in the kingdom of God. There's been times in my own life where I felt like, what is the use to go on? There was a day when I laid in the floor of my trailer preaching revival, and I got in the floor of that trailer at night and I said, God, I don't know if I can go on. God, I don't know if I can make it. And Sister Collins, I hadn't sinned, but somebody dropped me. Somebody let me down. Somebody that I looked up to had dropped me and it crippled me and I was lame and I didn't think that I could go on. But I want you to know that there is still a hope for someone that has been dropped. I don't know if I'm getting this across to you tonight or not, but this is all I felt like preaching. And so I'm going to preach what I feel like preaching. You may feel that all the world is caving in on you. And I felt that way. And I felt I would cave under the world. I felt like I would cave under the pressure that I could not go on. And I hadn't sinned, but I'd been dropped. If you sin tonight, we'll get you another night. I'm sure somebody will preach to you. But who I'm preaching to tonight, I'm preaching to those of you who haven't sinned, but you feel let down. You feel like somebody has dropped you. And you're disappointed and discouraged and disheartened. And you say, who can I trust? What's the use? What am I going to do? And you've been lame because you're dropped. But I want to tell you, there's still hope for you. Mephibosheth went through years of his life, from a little boy of 5 years old until he was a grown man. He went through his life crippled in his feet, carried about from place to place. And there have been times, seem like, after months at a time, when somebody's had to carry me. And it was the prayers of God's people that kept me going, because I didn't feel like going on my own. And somebody walked by me, and somebody shouldered my load. And somebody walked up to me at a camp meeting and said, I'm praying for you. And somebody walked up and said, I got confidence in you. And that just helped me walk on. And never mind, I couldn't have made it without him. Because somebody that was there to help me. And now he's gone through like years and years. He's been lame, he's been lame, he's been crippled. But I read the Bible said in 2 Samuel chapter 9, verses 1, that David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? I want to find somebody that I can show kindness. When David said that, he had no idea that Mephibosheth was still alive. He had no idea that Mephibosheth was waiting. He just said, I'm willing to help anybody at the house of Saul. And so he said, is there anybody? And someone said, there he is. He called a servant in at the Saul, the house of Saul. And he said, is there any at the house of Saul that I may show kindness unto him? And he said, Jonathan hath yet a son. But then he goes ahead and tells all the story but he's lame. You wouldn't want him. Jonathan's got a son. David said, wonderful. He said, but he's lame. And that's the same servant that later took advantage of that lameness. I've got one, but he's lame. And the king said, where is he? He said, he's down here. And the king sent and fetched him up. And when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. I want to preach to you tonight that the God of heaven and his son Jesus Christ said, is there anybody that I can help? Is there anybody that I can minister to? He didn't say, bring me the pretty ones, or I'd have got left out. He didn't say, bring me the thin ones, or I would have got left out. But he said, bring me anybody at the house of Saul. Bring me anybody at the seed of Adam, that I may do good unto them. And you know what they did? They brought me lame unto Jesus Christ, just like those men that his friend let him down through the roof. They carried me lame unto Jesus. And you know something? It didn't make any difference to Jesus that I was lame. It didn't make any difference to him that I was down and carrying a burden. He just said, is there anybody that I can help? And I want to tell you, he's calling tonight, is there anybody that I can help? Are you lame? Are you crippled? He said, it does not matter. Is there anybody that I can help? And when Mephibosheth came unto David, he got down on his face. And he did reverence. He realized he was not worthy of anything that the king could do for him. And the first step to your recovery is to realize that there is nothing that you deserve. Even if you have not sinned, there is nothing that you deserve. He comes to David in reverence. And David called his name, said Mephibosheth. And he answered, behold thy servant. He said, here I am, lame, crippled, halt. He said, here I am. Behold thy servant. Look at my lame legs. Look at how crippled up I am. Look at the problems I'm going through. And when I went through that battle, I had to come to Jesus and say, here I am. And look, I'm crippled up. And look, I cannot walk. Look, I cannot go on. And Jesus looked down at me, just like David did at Mephibosheth. And he said, fear not, for I will show thee kindness for Jonathan, thy father's sake. And we'll restore thee all the land of Saul, thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? God, I'm not worthy. Why have you even bothered to waste time on me? I'm no more than a dead dog. I'm no more than just something to be cast out away. But David said, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to fix the problem. You may still be lame, but I'll make sure there's somebody there to carry you and put your feet underneath my table. He called that servant in and he said, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertaineth to Saul and all his house. Thou therefore, my sons and thy servants, shall till the land for him. What he could not do, you're going to do it. And thou shalt bring him the fruits that thy master's son, and may as thy master's son, as may have food deep, but Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. And Ziba said unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant Saul, that shall thy servant do? As for Mephibosheth, saith the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. As for Mephibosheth, had dwelled in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table. He may have still been lame in his feet, but he was under the king's table. I want to tell you tonight, you may still face battles of that same person that may have still hurt you. You may still be offended, but you can sit with your feet up under the master's table and eat continually of the blessings of God. I can let what you do to me cripple me, or I can let it go on by and eat under the king's table. That doesn't mean that you didn't do it. It just means I decided to ignore it and still eat at the king's table. I decided to overlook you and what you've done to me. And I've had to do it before. And if you're going to stay saved, you're going to have to do it. I decided to forget about the lameness. I decided to forget about how bad you dropped me. I decided to just be happy eating under the king's table. If you could get that attitude tonight and say, no matter what happens, no matter who drops me, no matter what goes on in my life, I'm going to keep my feet under the king's table. I'm going to eat at the table of God. You could spend your entire life eating the bread of the king, eating from the king's table. Oh, you can allow that lameness to carry you all through life, down and discouraged and disheartened. Or you can put your feet under the king's table. Have you been dropped? How about this? Could you slip your hand up and say, sometime in my Christian experience, somebody has dropped me? I'll put them both up. Somebody has dropped me. And somebody tonight, you feel dropped tonight. You feel let down tonight. Somebody or something, you may have had no control over it, but something's happened.